are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations to transform your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of leadership and business experience to add value to your day. All right, so we are going to hop right into talking about co-parenting. And I think we can look at co-parenting from two different ways. So when two people have a child together, they typically have to come to an agreement on how they're going to parent this child. What works best is before you've decided to have a child with someone that you kind of have some difficult discussions about. So what are your beliefs about child rearing? Because some people haven't even thought of that. My partner had never babysat anyone, had never really done anything with, never thought about some of those things. And he's okay with some of the things that I agreed that I really wanted to do. But it would have been a deal breaker for me. Somebody, if we couldn't come on the same page regarding parenting. And so first let's talk about what are some signs that you have a healthy co-parenting relationship.
Some of the signs are that number one, you communicate. Because communication is the key when you're parenting, co-parenting. And it just means a cooperative parenting, not a combustive. That's not the code we're talking about. We're talking about that. So some of the things would be when you can sit down and you can talk, right? When you can sit down and agree. And if there's disagreement that you can discuss a mutually beneficial. And when I say beneficial, I'm saying for the child, not for you and the person, right? I'm saying mutually beneficial for the child to use this technique or this for them, right? And then the other thing is it's not about you, nor is it about the other person. Remember that the child is, or the children, are the most important people in this conversation. And what impacts them is the most critical element of anything that can happen in this co-parenting relationship.
I love that. And I think in order to do a lot of that, you have to put your emotions to the side. Because a lot of emotions, and sometimes how I was raised or how the relationship I saw my parents have, sometimes that comes into it. Or if the person has had negative experiences in the past. And it's really important to be consistent. Mm. And so, because I've worked with some people that were like, okay, I don't want him to have, and that's just what I've typically worked with. I don't want the other person to have anything to do with the children that aren't biologically theirs. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. He treats, you know, his kids like, wait a minute. But so I'm the therapist and I'm thoroughly confused. And so being able to have that clear communication along with consistency and putting emotions to the side for the best interest of the kids. And I do want to say that a red flag, which you won't be able to do anything because once you're in the situation, like this is, it is what it is, that sometimes I've seen a partner or a former partner use the kids to get back at the other person, where if they could no longer control the co-parent, that now they are consistently late to dropping the kids off. They are constantly changing the schedule. They're at the last minute trying to do these things and they want to frustrate the other person. And so what I recommend is that person manage their emotions. And really, I encourage them to expect changes. Because often it's like, I can't believe they know, like we kind of knew, because normally it's just enough where it wouldn't become an issue at court, because no court wants, you know, if the person dropped them off 30 minutes late or if they did, you know, sometimes like normally the courts are only going to get involved if it's really egregious, if it's something major. And remembering that once you have that agreement, if you have a legal custody agreement, the other person can always, either party can always go back to renegotiate it. And so I think sometimes people think, okay, once we get this order in place, it's going to be over. No.
No, because they can't put everything in the order. Can we just say that? They can't put everything in the order. And you don't want to keep on taking your taking back to the court system. Number one, it costs money. But number two, it causes wounds. So I'm going to use Patrice's example because I think that's a great example of something that, a tip that could help you deal with that. Well, the partner was late. They've always been late. They were late when you were dating them. They were late when y'all were together. They were late. They were born late. You know, they're just late. They've always done that, right? So what you do is you know who they are, so you don't do anything that's right up to the time they said they were going to be there, right? If they said they were going to be there at 5 o'clock, you know they run about an hour late. Don't even set nothing up until after six. You know the deal. Stop playing. So don't do anything to press your own button.
Because what normally happens is you are the one who is incredibly frustrated. And then when you get your children back, you're in a space where you're so upset at the other person, you can't assist in that transition with your child. And I have a video over on YouTube that gives some tips for if you do have a more difficult co-parenting relationship. Because sometimes we have to agree, you know what, co-parenting, we're not going to agree on the basic rules for both of our houses. And so for my own piece, we might have to do what's called parallel parenting, where, okay, I'm not even, okay, you want the kids to stay up until, you know, okay, they don't have a bedtime at your house. I can't control everything. If it starts to affect them at school, then that's where sometimes schools have documented, you know, the child is falling asleep in class on Thursdays and Wednesday night is the other parent's visitation day. And so just making sure that you are in a place where you are doing the most important thing, which is supporting your child, because often the kid feels in the middle and there will be times that your child will relate to the one parent, and there will be times that they will relate to the other parent and not feeding in mm-hmm. to whatever's going on.
And then the other thing is don't allow your children to manipulate you using the other parent.
And I like to say, get their needs met in inappropriate ways.
Okay. So don't allow that. Because let me say two things. When something happens and you are no longer in the same household with the other person, parenting together in the same space, then, and y'all have decided, or the court decided, what is, they call it home base, where do they normally reside, right? Remember that they have two locations, right? So like Patrice mentioned, if you cannot agree, make sure you talk to the children and say, look, this is how this is happening over there. However, in this house, these are the rules in this house. Okay. So when you cross across that threshold, you are under these rules. Okay. And these rules are because whatever they're because. And I know when I was growing up, I couldn't ask the because word. Okay. Right. Like why? Why is an amazing word. However, sometimes what you do is you answer some of the whys in advance, you know. And then the other,
and answer it without putting the other person under. So why can I do it at dad's? That is his house.
That's right.
Instead of saying because he's a ungrateful, like so not using words that are blaming or shaming. So being able to stay as neutral, which this might require you to be in your own therapy.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also want to say, even within the same household, there's always one parent that's a little bit more lenient than the other. And so often you have to do similar things where a child is going, this isn't only for parents that aren't in the same household, because which can sometimes be even more confusing for the child, because it's like, ooh, if I know I want to go somewhere, then I go to this parent. But then what happens is that causes strife within the relationship. And I firmly believe that children do not cause, you know, separation, or they don't, some of the things might have brought up, a communication difficulty. Some of the things are inability to get on this, to compromise. Well, that inability to compromise happened before, and it isn't only related to the children.
And I love the fact that we were talking about co-parenting in any situation. One of the things that I encourage you not to do is don't talk bad about the other person. That's here on the phone, that's texting across, and none of that.
And I would say, don't do it, please. If the kids are in the house, because often when there is a high conflict situation between mom and dad, the kid knows. Yeah. And you might also need to get your child into some type of therapy, because I, as the therapist, I have sometimes been the go-between, not in a problematic, because I don't. So within therapy, there's this thing where sometimes both parents are trying to get me on their side. And what I clearly say, I'm on the family side and I'm on the child side. I'm staying neutral. Even if I have my own thoughts and beliefs about things, like I stay back. Because there are some things that are simply a judge issue. It's simply a court issue. And so being able, sometimes I've helped parents navigate, okay, your child is 15, despises visitation. Y'all are going back to court anyway. Is there a way that we can give some choice within this? And there's a history of some problematic things, or we're having issues with the transition. So is there a way we can, you know, you might want to ask your lawyer about making a more neutral spot versus it being at the house.
Yeah, because and what I just thought about is I said, that's oil and vinegar. Mm-hmm. I mean, oil and water. Oil and water really doesn't mix. Oil by itself is amazing.
I think if you add something, it will.
Vinegar. Yeah. So when you add vinegar, you have a salad dressing, right? You can pour it on everything. So that's the key. The vinegar in the situation can be the court system. The vinegar in the situation can be you going to get therapy, right? All of those things, the vinegar, the person that helps congeal the oil in the water and make it beneficial together is something new. So let's talk about it if you don't, you know, necessarily have some vinegar. This is the deal. You know that they're oil or water, whichever one applies, right? You know that there's been situations. However, do not use the child as the vinegar. Remember that your children at any age, you shouldn't manipulate them. Your children, when I say that, I'm saying, I know, regardless to how long or how old your children are, don't put them in the middle of, don't use them as a vinegar, is what I'm really saying, okay? No matter what, because we think they can handle it.
They can't.
They can't. And then, remember what Patrice was talking about? She said they try to use her to get them on her side, on their side, right? And that's what the child may feel like, well, if I'm not on this person's side or I'm not on this person's side, and then they feel bad. So when it's connected to that, you don't want that child to feel that way. And then the last thing I'm going to say while she holds her hands for just a second. Why, the last thing I'll say regarding that is this. Because it took two of you, they have both of your DNA, there's going to be days when they're acting just like their mother, just like their father, just like the whoever, right? And so when you talk bad about the other person and then you turn around and say they're just like whoever you were talking bad about, maybe that was 2 weeks or whatever, they start connecting those things and say, well, I'm bad. They think that they're bad. They're not bad. So this is what I'm going to go back to. Now, I know what this is Dr. Barry. This is Mama Johnny, right? What I'm going to tell you from experience is this. When people get comfortable about saying things about the other person, before they know it, they end up in a situation where they've said it in the presence of the child. Unbeknownst to them, the child overheard it. And so now that's a wound. The thing with the wound is even if you try to heal, even if it heals from the outside, underneath, there's so many layers of situations that can happen. So we have to be careful. So this is what I was in a situation, I was getting a divorce. it was a long process to get to the point where I was ready to get a divorce, right? Now, in the meantime, right at the end, Patrice came up. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. But it took both of our DNA to make this amazing person, right? So I have never, hear me, ever talked bad about her dad, number one. Number two is I've never regretted being married to him or being in a relationship with him, because look at the wonderful thing. Look at the wonderful person that came out of it. Now, I'm not going to say it was joy and happy, 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 joy, joy. I'm not saying the situation was perfect. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is she came out of both of our DNA. Now, for years, she swore she did not look like him. I let her go with that. She looked just like him. When she came out, she looked like it. And she looked like her whole life. But follow it with your child. If your child says, I don't look like him or I don't look like her, let them say it. Don't worry about it. They'll come to their own agreement, because you don't want to interfere in their relationship. Every child.
Because then what happens when one parent is, it's because sometimes it comes from their own pain or even from the pain they see the person causing their child. Right. But if they speak back into it, not from a point of let me support and encourage you and help you through this, but from a place of, oh yeah, we're sitting here, we're both bad mouthing. Oh yeah, they're this and they're that. That then puts you on more of a friend level and not the safe adult. And you need to stay the safe adult. That is incredibly important. And I also do want to say that some people, what they got out of was abuse. Yeah. There was trauma.
Yeah.
And so that's where doing your own work to heal that. I have a longer episode because it gets a little clinical. And so check out over on YouTube. I have some tips about co-parenting with a toxic ex. And so make sure to check that out. I also recently did a video with Coach Matt Pfeiffer. And that's over on my YouTube as well. But I think being able to separate my pain from, because what can happen is my emotion can become theirs. My child's emotion can become mine. And as a parent, I want to take my child's pain away. And we're not going to get all the way into it today, I don't think. But there is something called a lawnmower parent.
Oh, you said that. Yeah.
Because I had heard of a helicopter parent.
Hovering.
Yeah. The person that kind of, that's constantly hovering over their child. But I hadn't heard of the lawnmower parent. And so the lawnmower parent basically paves the way so that their child never experiences any pain. And I'm currently listening to the book, Trauma Proofing Your Kids. And so if you are, and it's by Peter Levine, I have a bookshop now and you can check that out. I will post the links. But with that, what it ends up talking about is, first of all, no matter what my kid is going to experience some type of, because trauma is just something that you weren't prepared for. It overwhelms your system. My child is going to have something happen. But the thing is I want to be there to help him through it, but I can't take it away. If my child falls and scrapes his knee, I don't have a way to make it not hurt. What I can do is, so by hugging him and by caring for him, that releases endorphins and that helps along the way, but being able to have good emotional boundaries. There's also something called parental projection, and that's where my emotions, I project them onto my child. And when there has been this history of really bad things happening, it can be really hard to separate what's mine and what's theirs. Because guess what? You should be asking them, so what did you enjoy about the visit? And with a smile, excited. So tell me, what did y'all do? What did you like? Because sometimes that child will think that they are betraying you.
Yes.
By having a good time. Or that they, like, I can't, like, I know how my parent feels about them, I don't want to enjoy myself. And the child is like, they're, bowling or like they're doing something fun and the child is trying their best to really not enjoy it because they want to please you. And so that's where I need to be very clear with my child. I want you to have, if there can be a healthy relationship, because I can't make your parent have, but it's my goal. You only get one birth parent if it's an adoptive family. Like you only, like this is what it is. And I would want you to have the most positive experience possible. And if my child is having a negative experience with a particular parent, if there are other positive people that I can put in my child's life, coaches, music teachers, but if there are these other positive people, sometimes it doesn't fix it. It won't replace it. But sometimes my child can at least know that all adults, all women, all men, all people that look like this parent, they aren't all this way.
Right. And I'm going to give you a great example. I was a single parent. I still, single parent. And so Patrice was this cute little fluffy, fluffy little girl, right? Bouncing everywhere. All the guys, when we lived in Okinawa, there were 9 men to every 1 woman. Yes, but it wasn't heaven. I'm just saying. But it was amazing, right? But my point for saying that is she saw all these men in these roles who were positive. Because I didn't just send her off nowhere. I'm just putting it in perspective. Didn't send her off anywhere with them. But she saw them love on her. She saw them hug. She saw the giving and all of that. And the thing about it is, even to this day, there are certain people that I have been blessed with for her in her life to show her that as a male figure, right? And her father is one of them. Right? Her father is one of them. However, this is what I'll tell you. Whatever the situation is, don't go out and try to replace the other parent. Did y'all hear what I said? You can't.
You can't.
Don't go out and try to do it. Because sometimes people that are breaking up or not in the relationship anymore, they say, okay, well, Bobby Sue needs a mother or Bobby Sue needs a father, whatever the situation is, right? So they need you. They need you, and they need you in a healthy place. So make sure that you take care of you and then build relationships, whether it be in ministry. Mine was because of ministry or because of where, however, and be careful who you bring in the house
or
around even your children. Mm-hmm. Be careful with that because they could latch on. And what can happen is then when, let's say it doesn't work out, then the child thinks the person left is something wrong with them and it's them that they're leaving and not you.
And then it becomes an additional wound.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's good.
It does. And that happened.
That happened.
My mom had a long-term relationship. We're actually glad it didn't work out because he was pretty controlling.
Well, I didn't know it was control then. It looked cute. I'm just going to say it looked cute. So be careful with that. Go ahead.
And then also, so Stephen W. Banks is up on TikTok. He has a phenomenal book. It is from a religious perspective. I'm not sure if he ever released the secular version, but it's Healing the Father Wound. And it really came out of his own personal journey. And I had, I think last week, did we talk about forgiveness? We talked about, maybe not on here.
A little bit, yeah.
So being able, the way that I saw that I looked just like my dad was I had to let go some of my hate. And so like I was holding a lot of negative emotions because I was trying to make him something that he's just not.
And don't get mad to try to make somebody something that they're not. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Number one, you can't make you be something that you're not. You have to work on you. Take the time to work on you, right? And do it from that perspective. And because you can't change other people. We can change ourselves. Well, I can change the reaction, but I can't change how the other person is. I just can't do that.
And if there's something that's unsafe with that other person and your children,
that's different.
Then that's when you're working with lawyers, like you're documenting things, like that is very different. And within the state of Virginia, because somebody was talking about Florida, that in Florida they don't do custody; it's all shared. It's all
I didn't know that.
Shared. They said it exactly what it was. But in Virginia, parents. So I try because if I make one parent mad, and that parent says, I don't want you to be the therapist anymore, even if they're not the parent with full legal custody, even if they're not the parent with full physical custody, in Virginia, they still have parental rights. And if they say, I don't want you seeing my child, I can't. They have to work that out. Typically, they end up finding another therapist. And so if you see a therapist setting boundaries, because sometimes there have been some things where a parent has been like, I want you to help me confront this parent about this. And I was like, just so you know, I could get fired. Is the most important thing me helping the kids? Like, I can, like, this, that might be better done in mediation. Maybe y'all can do co-parenting. There are some co-parenting apps. Mm-hmm. There are apps now that where you're not communicating over the phone. And I do think setting up boundaries for you as the parent is incredibly important. Because I've seen people try to disrupt sleep, try to disrupt the child's education, try to do these things. And really it's out of that other parent's pain. And it's not enough to cross a legal within my state. Virginia is very, it's a commonwealth. Individual rights are really, really strong. And so it can be hard to get some systems to move if it seems like it's just more these nitpicky things that are, but it does have an effect, and it's painful for people to see that with their kids.
So one of the things that I wanted to mention is we, RISE, we rise in the morning, but we raise children. Raising a child is a huge responsibility. And when I say that, we want them to be better for being our child. We want them to be better because they're in our space. We want them to be great thinkers. That's why I was never a lawnmower mother. Never.
I will never forget. I don't think we've told the story. We might have told the story.
Which one?
I ran track and I was really good. And I
told it.
I had a D.
Pause. Did she say she just had a D? She had a D. D was not for David. Okay.
With AB potential. Because the D was because.
Was AB potential?
Because I didn't turn in some assignments. Like, it was clear. It was an interim, and I hadn't turned in some assignments. And so my mom wrote a letter to the school and said, Patrice cannot run track until she has a C in history. My coach or my teacher gave me a letter that same day. Like, I gave him that letter, and he was like, oh, you have an A or a B. Like, you have a B. And I was like,
Whoa. Did she do any work? This is a moment. We need to talk about this for just a minute. I just want to talk about it because you have to be careful with what's happening, because she's going to tell you what I did about it in just a second. It's the way I handle stuff. See, this is the thing. When a person allows you to get a free card, especially the children all the time, to, you know, you don't have to be responsible. You don't have to clean your room. You don't. That's a different mindset, because then when they run into something, they'll feel like they're entitled. So I'm like Shaq. I'm rich. You ain't got Jack. I mean, I'm just, you know, that's what he said.
She's not playing.
I'm not playing. Now, does that mean I'll take care of you? Absolutely. You're not going to want for anything? Absolutely. But are you going to, oh no, that's not the way this works. And my grandson would tell you, he got in the car yesterday. He said, Gigi did da 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 da. And she said, what did you get for him? Whatever I wanted. They're at my house. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, let's go back to the story.
So what ended up happening was, so I magically had a B, because what he did was,
magically. He didn't do anything. Okay, go ahead. He told me.
So what ended up happening was she made me do all the work, because he did my grade as though I had turned in everything on time, and I hadn't.
And I did have a conversation that went with that, with her.
Yes.
I said, you can't think that I'm whatever, because I don't curse. So there wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. But I was telling her, I said, you will do the work. And I let him know. I said, I'm going to let her run, because this, she ran. Listen to me. This, I'm telling you, they needed a 4x4. She was the what you call anchor. She was the anchor. So they had a track meet. He said, "Ma'am, we have." That's what he told me. He said, "But Miss, you at the you know." He said, "We have a track meet." I said, "And." And so he said, "Da da da." And I said, "And she will not be there." And so magically, the grade upped. So I did let her go because I didn't say earn it. I said, if you have it. So I was a person of my word. She had it.
And I believe.
But you needed to do the work.
I did the work because I couldn't watch TV. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. There was
consequences.
Consequences. See, this is the deal. There's consequences in all situations. And we don't co-parent. There's consequences for the children. And when we don't allow our children to grow and have thoughts and be able to talk to us about things, there are consequences because they will find somebody else to talk to. The other thing is, what happened in my house was somebody saying something. Y'all know I can't read up there, so she's having a joy time. So all of those things are very important to me. But let me tell you the reason that you want your children to make decisions. Because as they grow older, and maybe you're not in their space right there with them. I know we got cell phones. You know what I'm saying? But that don't matter. You don't want your child trying to call you. Well, can I do this? Or should I do this? Because typically they're not.
Well, when your child is 18 years old or like when they go off to college.
They ain't calling you.
Well, no,
they do call you.
But the teacher isn't accepting an email from
That's
a parent.
Right. I didn't have to do that. I'm going to be honest with you. When Patrice is in college, there was some other stuff we had to do.
Even high school. So you let me pick my classes. Like you never asked to approve or see.
I support it. Yeah. I ask critical questions. This is important. You have to ask critical questions. Because see, Patrice went through the season where she was going to be a hairdresser. So I didn't say, I said, do you like the way you live? And she said, yeah. You know, like, yes. I said, well, you need to own some shops. I said, because in order to live at this level, you need to be more than a hairdresser, sweetie. You can be the dresser. Now, I'm not knocking what she's doing. Don't do that. Don't knock what they're saying they're going to do because it could be temporary, right? Because something happened and that's what pivoted her to being what she did, to doing what she does now. And she's in her gift. Listen to me. Everybody's looking for every child. When they're growing up, they run through this, all the stuff that they want to be. Please don't tell. I don't care. I don't care what the other parent does or what y'all do. This is what I'm recommending for you. When you hear any child says that they want to be whatever, astronaut, the first whatever, say, okay, so how are you going to do that? Or, oh, celebrate with them. I don't care what the teacher said about them in school or none of that. How can you help them with their goals? How can you help drive them? Because let me tell you what it's going to do for them. It's going to give them critical thinking skills. And for you, it will remind you of what you desire to do and help you step off as well.
And what I did was I took a cosmetology class and realized I like other people to do my hair. I don't really like to do it. I don't want to do other people's hair. And then also, I think nowadays we need to let people know that your dream changes.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't even really want to ask kids what they want to be when they get older because we never ask if they want to have joy. Like, how are you going to, what peace? Like we don't ask about those things. We normally focus on a career because I'm really concerned about the younger generation because a lot of people, one of the lowest points in my life was after I got my doctorate because it didn't feel the way I thought it was going to feel. Turning 30, I turned 40 this year. Like all of those things, I know. And so, because people were like, y'all look like sisters. Mama looks good. She didn't have me when she was 10. Like,
no. I had her when I was 2.
No.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was a 2 in it. It was at the front of the other numbers. See, you thought I was going to go a different way. I didn't do that.
You didn't do that. I'm so proud.
She thought I was going. Did y'all know? Did you see her eyes? You know where she thought I was going, right? I was so nice. The first number when I had her was a 2. There was I think I was 27 or something. So anyway.
I'm just so grateful that we're able to have this conversation. We are going to follow up next week with more of our relationship talks, because I do think it's important to figure out how, because relationships, we are made to connect. We are made to live this life together, and it's not going to be a smooth road. Like, and I think sometimes what I've seen is parents that are maybe they're not on the same page with parenting, and maybe we've had to agree, okay, it's just going to be parallel parenting. Okay. The child is figuring out because sometimes the kids are fine in that situation. And it's just me getting over the fact that, oh, they are going to fill them up with sugar. And it's like,
and send them to me.
And send them back to me. So guess what? As soon as they come home, they're going to run outside. Like, they're going to
have a plan.
Have a plan for what is within your control. Because focusing because I've had people stress way out during the time that their child was away when they could have been recharging their battery. Okay. So I like coming to work because that helps me recharge me. When I am home for the weekend, I normally go to the store. Like I need some time to recharge me. And so, I acknowledge that I have a partner that I know my child is in good hands. And so just being able to find some peace for you, because that is incredibly important, because a parent can help ground the emotion. So my child can come home. And then if I'm all, then it's just going to be a big explosion. It's going to be bad. But if my child comes home all revved up and I've already done my meditation, I'm centered, then we can come in. All right, let's do some yoga. Like, let's listen to our bodies. How are we doing? Oh, you're really excited. Yes. All right. So let's go ahead and do this. And if you need to communicate with the school, because mental health is incredibly important. So let's say my child's parent has a weekday visit and they're not getting any homework done during, and let's say I need to ask for some extra time at school or something, or we need to set up a study hall or a space for my child to be able to do those things. Because if they've been out having fun and then as soon as they come home, all right, homework, dinner, bed. And because being able to create some of those fun spaces within both houses. So my husband is a phenomenal, like he can play. Like he's a great player. My son normally likes to cuddle with me and watch something like that. That's normally how he enjoys our time. And sometimes he might say, I want daddy. Cause we ask him at night, do you want mommy to play or do you want daddy to play? And 9 times out of 10, it's daddy. But I'm like, thank you. I get to go downstairs. I get to go eat. I get to go. You want to play with daddy? Okay. Yeah. Bye. Just being prepared that sometimes when your child gets mad, they might say, I want to go, they might get a little frustrated. And so that's where I think sometimes having that neutral therapist can help in the midst of those things.
Right. And the thing that I'll encourage you to do is this, is build a community. Sometimes you're a single parent and you're working from that perspective and something else is happening on the other side. The father may not, or the other parent may not even be in the child's life actively. Listen to what I said, actively. So the key is find a community to help, right? So let's say it's a group of women or whatever, doesn't matter. You find a community, a safe place so you can still take a break, or you find time to do your yoga and all of that stuff. So it may be putting the children to bed a little bit earlier than you would normally do, or make their bedtime early so that you can relax and take a few moments so you can go and enjoy and be filled up. Because anybody that's working from an empty vessel is not healthy. It's just not healthy. It really is not healthy. So just make sure that, and do the work. Do the work. If you need to go see somebody, do the work. If you need to go and take a bath for a little while, do the work. Do your work.
And your child, so the child is in therapy, not because there's something wrong or because it's like, hey, we need some extra support. We need to add a licensed person to our support network. I need this extra, because as a parent, if my child is having a really difficult time with their visitation, it's going to be really hard for me to hear that and not take it, you know, and not mama bear to not come up. And so I might need a neutral therapist, because I've seen a lot of kids not want to share some things or not want to, because they don't want to make the other parent mad. And we often talk in our sessions, okay, so what would I share with the other parent? What am I not going to share? And then we're able to kind of move forward like that. But I'm really glad that we were able to have this conversation. Excited to see what we hop into next week to just sum up our relationship series. I don't think we talked about relationship with ourselves. Did we do that?
I don't know.
I think that's going to be, because you talked about that empty vessel, mm-hmm. and I think that would be really good to a nice place to end this series. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.